Jana and I each recently read this novel, Homegoing. Has anyone heard of it? It's the story of two sisters who are born in Ghana in the 18th century, but they grow up in different villages, and they don't know one another. One of the sisters goes on to stay in Ghana and live a pretty good life, but her other sister is captured by slave traders and sold into slavery in America. And the book follows these two descendants from the sisters, these two family lines, down through the generations, up to today. And one of the descendants is Ness, and she grows up in slavery in America in the South. And her mother, Essie, used to speak to her in the language of Ghana, Twi. But Ness's mother dies, and Ness, as she grows, slowly forgets that language. She forgets her mother's tongue. And she tries to remember, she tries to picture her mother's mouth speaking these words of love to her in this language. But Ness is forgetting. She's forgetting her mother tongue in this foreign land. And she doesn't know if she'll ever be able to speak it again. Now, the story of Psalm 1 that we heard is the story of a people in a foreign land. The people of Israel were taken from their homeland, from Jerusalem to Babylon. They're sent into exile. And when Psalm 1 is written, the people of Israel are in a foreign land. And Babylon is nothing like home. It's nothing like home. The land is flat and dry. There's no mountains and hills. The people speak a different language. And worst of all, the worst part, is that their beloved temple, the beautiful temple in Jerusalem, has been destroyed. The place where they used to meet with God, where they used to go together to worship and to speak to God and to pray, the beautiful temple has been lost, destroyed. And they wonder if they'll ever be able to pray again. Now, they're refugees living and working in a foreign land. And their Babylonian captors like to mock them. Come on, sing some of your joyful songs you used to sing in Jerusalem. Sing for us. But the people can't sing. They don't have a song in their heart. All they have is tears. And the song they do muster is Psalm 137. We were sitting by the rivers of Babylon. We wept, we cried when we remember what had happened to Zion. On the nearby poplar trees, we hung up our harps. We were done praising. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we are in another land? They were giving up. They were putting their guitars away and said, we can't sing joyful songs of praise. How can we sing again? Maybe this story of Israel feels true to you and your story. Maybe you know what it's like to be uprooted from your homeland, to go to a foreign country, to be transplanted, to try to learn how to sing joyful songs in a new place, far away from your family, far away from the people who speak your language. But even if that isn't your story, it's not my story, all of us are still trying to learn to sing again. We're all trying to learn to sing again. Even if it isn't on the other side of the ocean, it's on the other side of loss. It's on the other side of a diagnosis we live with. It's on the other side of a decision we regret. It's on the other side of a secret we're carrying in our hearts. And each of us wonders, can I sing again? Can I sing after that broken relationship? Can I sing again? I like to ask about last Sunday's sermon. I'm getting in the habit of that. If you remember Genesis 2 from last Sunday, Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're in fellowship with God. And there's the tree of life. But they lose it. They disobey God, and they're sent in exile from the garden. They're sent away from their homeland, from the place they knew, where they used to speak with God and walk with God. And now they're living in a foreign land, and they don't know if they can remember the language of their heart. They don't know if they can remember God's voice, who whispered to them words of love. Friends, we're all trying to live in a foreign land. We're all speaking in languages that really aren't our true mother tongue. We're trying to remember the sound of our Father's voice. We think we've heard it before. We think we know it. But sometimes we're not so sure. We're trying to remember those whispers of love that we hear in our hearts. We're trying to learn how to sing praise. And we wonder if we'll ever remember. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, is a collection of prayers, a collection of songs. But Psalm 1 that we read isn't really a prayer itself or a song. It's an introduction to prayer. It's the doorway into the house of prayer, into the house of the Psalms. So if we want to learn how to pray and how to sing, we have to walk through the door of Psalm 1. That's what we'll try to do this morning. Eugene Peterson says that we don't begin to pray by praying. We begin to pray by coming to attention, by slowing down, by quieting our hearts, by paying attention to God. That's how we begin to pray. What is it in Psalm 1 that gets the writer's attention? What is it that focuses their attention on God? The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is another way of saying God's teaching, God's word, the Bible, Holy Scripture. Now, Israel, they didn't have their homeland, they didn't have their temple, but they did have the law of the Lord. They had God's word with them in that foreign land. And you know what they did? They devoted themselves to God's law. They poured their lives into God's word. It became their source of life in this dry and weary land. And do you know what? Slowly, they learned how to pray again, how to turn from weeping into songs of joy. They learned what it's like to sing again. And they did it by being in God's word. You're going to learn some Hebrew today. How does that sound? Are you ready to learn a little Hebrew? Yeah? Don't be intimidated. It's just two words, okay? We can do two words. From Psalm 1, verse 2, Haggah Torah. So repeat after me, Haggah, Haggah, Torah, Torah. Let's put it together, Haggah Torah, Haggah Torah. Do you have any idea what you just said? I hear a lot of murmurings, ideas. Haggah Torah. So our Bible translates this in verse 2, to think about the law of the Lord. So Torah, That's God's law, God's teaching, God's word. But Haggah, it means a lot more than just to think about. It means to meditate on God's law. So you're probably wondering, why is there a picture of a lion with a dead zebra in its mouth? So, yeah, maybe you can't see. That's a carcass. So Haggah means to meditate, but it means more than that. Isaiah uses the same word Haggah when he talks about a lion growling over its prey, that a lion Haggah over its prey, a lion growls over its prey. So to meditate and to growl are the same word in Hebrew. It's kind of weird. Now, if we want to learn how to Haggah Torah, we have to learn to growl over God's word, like a lion over its prey. He's so proud over this catch, and he's just savoring it. He's sitting over it. He's chewing over it slowly. Haggah Torah. That's how we learn to pray, by growling over God's word, by rolling it around in our mouths, by becoming familiar. That's how we learn our true mother tongue. That's how we recover the language we lost in the garden. And when we chew on God's word, it gets into our stomachs and it nourishes our bodies. God's word gets down into our bones. It becomes a part of us. And slowly we grow. We grow like tree people. We get a little bit taller and a little bit wider, and we begin to bear fruit like trees. Rabbi Abraham Heschel once said, "In 3,000 years, the Bible has not aged a day. It hasn't gotten any older. It's a book that cannot die. That Bible you hold in your hands or on the chair beside you is a book of life. It is living and active. It has power to transform and to give life and to bring renewal." The psalmist says, "The law of the Lord gives them joy." Do you know what that's like? I remember thinking as a college student, how do I take joy in the Bible, in these strange words? How could I love this book? Haggah Torah. Is there life here? Is there joy that can set me free, that can teach me to sing again on the other side of whatever exile we're living in? To growl over God's word. You see, there's no such thing as a fast food meal with God's word. It doesn't work like that. We can't just grab it to go. It takes time to chew and to get its nourishment in our bodies. It takes a life of discipline. It takes time and effort and intentionality. Haggah Torah. It's asking a lot of us. And maybe we're wondering, is it even possible to slow down and to really chew on God's word? I want you to use your imagination with me. Josh, could you go to the next slide? All right. Imagine you want to look like that. That's your goal. I think all of us in this room got a long way to go before we look like that. And let's say steroids are not an option, okay? We can't do steroids, right? This is all natural, okay? How could we look like that? Would reading books about bodybuilding help us? Maybe a little at first, teach us how to do things. But all the books in the world aren't going to change our bodies to look like that. We'd have to apply the knowledge that we have learned. We have to eat healthy foods. We have to work out every day. We have to discipline ourselves if we want our muscles to grow. And we have to do it again, and then again, and again, and again. It would take time, and it would take effort. And we'd want to give up. We'd want to give up a lot. We'd want to stop because it's hard. But there would be a point after a while where something would change, where our body would begin to crave healthy food, the kind of food that grows our muscles. Our body would begin to really want to go to the gym and work out. We would crave it because we've done it again and again and again, and we've kind of started to love it. It's become a part of who we are. I think our life of prayer is much the same. Our life in the Word is much the same. And Psalm 1 invites us to this sort of life, this life where we Haggah Torah day and night, where it becomes a part of us. But we have to step through that door of Psalm 1. Otherwise, the Psalms, these prayers, are just going to be a strange and foreign world. We have to step through Psalm 1 into this house of prayer. We have to walk around to get to know the rooms. The first step is just showing up, taking the time to sit down, to slow down, to open God's Word, and to pray. And sometimes it's going to feel awkward and difficult, but we'll come again the next day. We'll try again. We'll try again, and we'll try again. I wish I could make this more complicated for us, but it's really that simple. To say, I'm going to show up. I'm going to sit with God's Word, and I'm going to try to pray, to figure this out, to work at it, to stumble around. But if we do it again and again, we learn how to pray. We learn that language. We learn the words we thought we'd forgotten. And then we hear the voice. We hear the Father's voice whispering. That's what it is. That's what it sounds like. After a while, the discipline turns into love, and we begin to crave the Word. We begin to hunger for the Word. We even take joy in it. And slowly over time, we grow. We grow like trees. I see trees out here this morning. I see trees that want to grow, that want to get taller and broader. I see trees that want to bear good fruit, that want to offer shade for people who are weary from the sun. We're called to be trees. Over time, our leaves get greener. We grow. And when the wind starts to blow, because it's going to blow, and sometimes the wind is going to blow hard, and we'll wonder if our roots can hold us. But by God's grace, we stay rooted. We stay rooted. We're not like straw that the wind blows away. Now, maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed, like this is too much work to try to be a tree. My life is too busy. I'm not that disciplined. You know, I just don't love the Bible. It's boring. It's weird. It doesn't make sense. You know, I'm just too tired. I don't have the energy. Maybe you're discouraged today, and the only song you can sing is through tears. And you wonder if you will sing a song of joy again. I don't know where you're at today. Well, I know you're here. I know you're here. I don't know what you're going through. But you're here. You're showing up. And you're not alone. None of us is alone in this. We're learning together. We're learning how to be trees together. And if you can't sing today, guess what? The sister next to you will sing. The brother next to you will sing. And by God's grace, there'll be a day when you can sing again, when that joy returns. You know, the good news is the Lord doesn't plant us as trees on our own out in some field. The Lord plants us together along his streams of living water. We're with each other in this. We're learning together. In our reading from James, it says, God wants the Spirit in us to belong only to him. God caused this Spirit to live in us. Friends, if we belong to God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Think about it. The presence of God is in you. It's in me. It's amazing. And Paul tells us in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit helps us when we are weak. When we don't know what to pray for, when we feel like we don't have a song inside, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And the Holy Spirit himself prays for us. God prays for us. We're not alone. None of us is alone. This is good news. Amen? Amen. The Spirit lives in you. And the Spirit is whispering words of love. The Spirit is teaching you the language you thought you forgot, your true heart language. The language that Adam and Eve spoke with the Lord in the garden. Listen. Can you hear the Spirit humming? Humming a new tune? Do you hear the Spirit starting to sing a new song inside? Friends, together, we'll keep learning how to sing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.